It's not really goodbye, but he is getting out of the TV business. Charlie Marlowe, longtime TV colleague, sidekick, ongoing joke that he was my assistant. That's what his boss in Michigan used to say, that it was his assistant. And he told me that once years ago, so I started calling him my assistant on TV. And somewhere along the way, I don't know if it was his parents or his in-laws, somebody pointed out, why does Martin call you? Why are you called his, considered his assistant? It sounded degrading, and it was probably meant to be. But Charlie Marlowe has been at Fox 2 since 2008. Man, he was a young guy. I always said, yeah, you're a young guy. Well, he's always going to be 14 years younger than me. But the young guy is turning 40 next spring, and he's got a young family. He's involved in radio at 590 The Fan. He's got a YouTube page, posting a lot of content. So he's not getting out of the media business, but he is getting out of the TV business. And I'd have to do some digging here, but in the sports business, probably for sure, the person I've worked with the longest. I mean, I can't imagine other than in terms of on air, because the producer, Dave Jobe, and I have been at Fox 2 together the entire time I've been there since 1997. He's been there. But in terms of on air sports people, I worked with Maurice Drummond for quite a while, Rob Dazier for quite a while. But I have to, you know, in the sports world, by far, Charlie and I have worked together the longest. And he's getting out of TV, going to focus on his rental properties and his other media outlets, as I mentioned. But had to do a little bit of an exit interview. You know, Charlie and I did TV together. We traveled the World Series. We also did a radio show, The Midday Grind. Then 590 mucked the whole thing up. No big deal. Then we did a podcast for a while, Martin and Marlowe. We have very similar, I think, approaches to sports in the sense that we're not really fans of the hot take world, that everything's got to be a, you know, who's the greatest ever, Tom Brady or pizza? Like just the dumb stuff that goes on a daily basis. And I think because of that, we always got along pretty well. And I'm sure we'll still be hanging out. Although we say that, we don't really hang out as it is now. I'm probably... once every 5 years, we go out for beers. Hey, Chuck, I look forward to seeing you in about 5 years. But I'm sure we'll stay in touch and maybe we'll do some media stuff together. So Charlie Marlowe is the guest on the Kilcoin Conversation. A guy from Toledo, Ohio, went to Bradley and was working in Lansing, got laid off, and we had an opening in 2008. I think it's when Chris Pelican left, I believe. Now, maybe I'm going too far back. I don't even remember now. But who would it have been? I don't even remember. But Chuck has been with us for a long time at Fox 2. He's the guest, and it's presented, as always, by Triad Bank, St. Louis-based bank since 2005. They are based here, which means the decisions are made here. So if you're a business owner, make sure you're talking to the fine folks at Triad Bank. They're in Frontenac on Clayton Road. They're on the web at triadbanking.com. B&G Tuck Pointing. They are the best in the bricks. They can do the tuck pointing, foundation repair, waterproofing, all of the above. Get a free estimate at 363-0525, 363-0525, area code 314, of course. Website, bgtuckpointing.com. You're going to see those Braden Shen commercials soon promoting the B&G Tuck Pointing brand. Looking forward to seeing that. My guy Rich Galati doing great things right now all around the St. Louis area, so make that chimney, that home, that garage, anything brick, make it look new again with the folks at B&G Tuck Pointing. Marie Davila Senior Living, corner of Clayton and Weidman Road. Since 1960, premier spot for senior living. That includes villa estates, assisted living, whatever form of senior living you're looking for. You can take a virtual tour right now online at mariedavila.com. Again, the home to Red Shandings for so many years. Beautiful spot in West County. Clayton and Weidman Road. It is Marie Davila Senior Living. And Appliance Discounters, where they can still get you that merchandise quickly. Instead of the supply chain issues where everyone's talking about months, when it comes to your next appliance, you can get it within days if you're dealing with Appliance Discounters. All the St. Louis area locations, including the Maplewood spot in that Deer Creek strip mall area there, that's the Art of Appliances, where it's a little more trendy. A little more, I don't know, just avant colors and looks. The Art of Appliance, they're featuring that at the Maplewood location. But you can always go to the website, theappliancediscounters.com. What I always tell folks to do, get into that search engine, type in General Electric and check out all their great merchandise. Maybe a GE rebate's also available. So great merchandise at the lowest price. Theappliancediscounters.com, where their savings are your savings. All right, here it is, our visit, me and Chuck Marlowe. I would say one last time, but only as TV colleagues.
Well, buddy, this is going to be a very emotional. Is this on YouTube as well as the pod and everything, so people can see this and they can hear this?
Yes, it'll be on YouTube. I figured people need the visuals of both of us probably crying, breaking down, sobbing. We'll kind of do virtual hugs through the computer and all that.
You're leaving the campfire, and I say this because so Mark Sauer was the Blues team president when Bill Laurie owned the team. And then I had him on the podcast about a year ago, and I just noticed that he was on 101 this morning. I saw them tweet like their guest list, so I called him, and he's a very funny, interesting guy. He ran the Pirates, he ran the Blues, he worked for the Cardinals, he was an AB guy, and he was always kind of known as like the hatchet man. He would come in when they had to like gut payroll, and he was always had to be the ass when somebody had. So I called him and I said, "Were you on the radio?" He's like, "Listen, you're going to have to go back, and I'm not going to tell you the material. You guys up there don't do any homework." And he said, "Let me ask you something about the sports guys. Are you still on TV and radio?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "What about Cusimano?" He goes, "You guys have been sitting around the damn campfire stealing money for years, saying the same old shit you've been saying." And I'm like, "Wait a minute, that's it. Chuck's leaving the campfire, but not entirely, I should say. You'll be doing radio, leaving TV, and you've clarified it yourself, but you very rarely does somebody get to leave TV kind of on their own. They either are in a feud with management or they get fired or whatever. This is actually a peaceful exit. You want to leave and we want you to leave." No, I'm kidding, of course.
Oh, thanks. Well, you know, back in the day, I did have a couple exits. Well, they were peaceful. My first job in the Upper Peninsula, I left early and had to break my contract because I just wanted to leave. And then Lansing, I was laid off, where everybody was super surprised back in 2008. They just kind of got rid of 20 people right at once as the economy started to tank. So yeah, after 14 years at Fox 2, I am leaving on good terms, and I had a great time with everybody there and with you and all that. But, I said it in the video, and I know I was probably a little vague just because just radio wise, there'll be some announcements and all that. And the whole radio thing was really a coincidence because I had to tell Fox 2 early November, and then the morning show at 590 left. So I had a great time at Fox 2, but at the end of the day, I just wanted a better schedule and to have my my nights and weekends off after about 17 years, pretty much, of a lot of nights and a lot of weekends. So I just wanted to change it up, but I still really enjoy producing the sports content, which I plan on doing a lot of that still.
When we hired young Chuck from Lansing, I've famously told the story. We had an opening, he sent a tape, and we're like, "Oh, this guy looks like he's a creative reporter. He did a bunch of interesting, involved stand-ups." And you said, "Hey, I can drive down tonight and be there in the morning." And I was like, "Wow, this guy, this is a guy we want on our staff. And he is a go-getter." And then he got here. And I'm like, "Wait a minute. What happened to that guy?" No, I'm kidding, of course. But when you came here in 2008, did you think, "All right, I'll do a couple of years in St. Louis and I'm going to ESPN. I'm going to bounce." I mean, what did you think when you came here?
I certainly didn't think I was going to ESPN, but I didn't think I was going to stay here 14 years or settle down here, where it's the old thing where you come here, you meet a St. Louis girl. Now I've been here 14 years. I'm married and I'm probably going to stay here forever. But you know, it's funny when you bring up that story about wanting to drive down here overnight to do the interview. You also got to remember where I was at the time, where, so like my last story was, your guy Fred Heumann and I went down to Florida and we got to cover two bowl games because both Michigan and Michigan State were in Orlando for the same bowl games in 2008. And then right after that, pretty much I was laid off and I had no idea this was coming. So you start to get the resume tape going and all that. And I think at the time when I got the job at Fox 2, I think I was off for close to 3 months and I was so freaking bored. Also, like, I watched the entirety of The Sopranos. I had never watched The Sopranos for whatever reason. And then when I got laid off, Sopranos is like 90 episodes. So in that 3 month span, there were days where I swear I watched 10 Sopranos episodes. I was so sick of being in my house and bored. At that point, look, I just wanted to work again. But to get a job in St. Louis, you know, I'm a huge baseball guy, to cover Major League Baseball and the Cardinals, and at the time, obviously, the Rams and the Blues, I was super excited to come to St. Louis.
And you got to go to two World Series. What I remember about 2011, right, I remember two things. Again, driving. We were going to Texas, and you're like, I'm going, dude. And we all drove, I think. I don't remember the great travel plan. But so it's three games in a row, games 3, 4, and 5. And I remember wherever our hotel was, nothing is ever close. People think you're mm-hmm. staying at the Ritz across the street from the game. You never are. It's always a drive. But after every game, we went to – was it Applebee's or TGI Fridays?
I want to say it was Applebee's, either Applebee's or Chili's, but I'm pretty sure it was Applebee's.
And we just crushed it every night because we had a decent-sized crew there. That's what I remember. I don't remember the Pujols three homers or being in Texas. I remember at the end of the night, we're all just sitting around at Applebee's. Let's just say it was Applebee's, and they had, like, the combo platter, and we'd get, like, three of them for the whole crew and pound some beers. And then we come back for game 6 – and what I remember is the freeze. Was it the homer or the triple when you jumped up and cheered? And we were in the bowels of Busch Stadium. It's that makeshift media room where it's set up for press conferences. After we weren't even in the damn press box. We're not even invited. You know, you got the guy from the Toledo Gazette. No offense to Toledo. And all the guys cover the team all year are sitting in the basement. But you jumped up and cheered, and Katie Feeney told you, shh. This is a working press room. And I think you like muttered to me like, no, it's not. Was it the homer when you cheered or the triple?
It was a triple. And to be fair, I don't think it was a cheer. Now, when you cover a team, it was more like that. It was a Sean Conroy. I think I swore and said, are you effing kidding me or something like that? Because that was one of those crazy moments that when you watched it, you couldn't believe what you were seeing. Another one of those moments, I have to say, I'm very disappointed I did not stay out there on the field or in the stands to see that, because, and I'm sure you can say the same thing, so many of these great moments, you're either doing a live shot outside of the stadium or you're in the bowels of Busch Stadium, because if that game's going to end at any point, you have to be ready for those interviews, for a win, for a loss. But yeah, I remember kind of just kind of standing up and probably saying, oh my gosh, or and Katie Feeney, who was always somebody who really ran a militant press room. She ran a very strict and militant press room. And then one more thing I have to bring up, because you talked about the travel to that World Series. So I don't know if you remember this, but the Rams were playing the Cowboys, or excuse me, yeah, the Rams were playing the Cowboys on that Sunday. So you guys actually either drove or flew. I flew with the Rams. I flew with the Rams flight on that Saturday. And I knew, even though I was supposed to come back with the Rams, there was no chance I was not staying there and finagling my way to go to the rest of the World Series games. So we worked it out that I was able to stay. And then we drove back, and we had two separate vehicles, I remember. And that was also the time where we stopped in Joplin, and we were able to see just the terrible devastation from that tornado as well on that 10 or so hour drive back to St. Louis.
So did Spags know? Where's Charlie? He's not getting on the flight. He gave up like 400 yards rushing, and he was probably doing a head count on the plane. Ted, do we have enough meals for everybody? Hey, you just gave up 400 fucking yards. What do you care about the plane ride? We haven't done a Spags in quite a while. What would he have said about the missing Charlie Marlowe on the flight?
I'll tell you what, is that Charlie, or is it Martin in there? Is Mo, did Mo switch TV stations? Is Rob Dazier still there? No, it's funny because that is. And I don't have the greatest memory, but there were two games. They might have both been in Dallas, so correct me if I'm wrong. But in two games, DeMarco Murray just ran crazy on the Rams for historic-type days. One of them, I think, was maybe close to 200 yards. The other one was over 200 yards. Every time the Rams played the Cowboys, DeMarco Murray just shoved it right down their throat.
Yeah, I think it was – the Hazlitt era too. Well, now they beat the Cowboys. That doesn't matter. But traveling with the Rams is probably one of your highlights too, right? I mean, you would get a lot of those Arizona, Seattle trips. And Chris Long on the podcast confirmed it, that there's no freaking doubt that Coach Fish liked to go a little early. We'll get to Scottsdale on Tuesday just so the guys can acclimate. Chris Long basically confirmed it. But you had a lot of – you and Rennie were kind of running partners.
Yeah, and you and I have had a lot of fun on these trips, but some of these trips, either I go or you go back in the day. So there was that period of time, and I want to say it was probably 11, 12, 13-ish, maybe 14-ish, going up until the end of the Rams era here, where it seemed like Rennie and I were on almost every flight together. And then, as you mentioned, which is why we love Coach Fish, if you were going anywhere even close to the West Coast, that was going to be a two-day trip. So we did all those Seattles and San Francisco's and Phoenix. There was a San Diego in there. And you roll in there on a Friday night and you put your bags down, you go to the hotel bar, and you're getting there pretty late. But I swear there were some days where Rennie and I sat at a bar all day long, literally all day long on a Saturday, watching college football and ordering breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the same place. We would just sit there posted up at the hotel bar or find a spot, depending on if you had friends in town and all that. But yeah, Rennie and I had a lot of fun.
Indeed, Rennie. Charlie, one more beer. I'll start tweeting about my socks. Did he tweet the whole time? The man loves his Twitter. All right, so the Rams are gone. Cardinals World Series. Anything else that jumps out at you when you think about the tenure? Obviously, meeting your beautiful wife, starting your beautiful family. Your beautiful dog is behind us. That goes without saying, mostly because you haven't said it. But what about other career highlights?
So another one down there in the same stadium, Jerry World, I got to drive down. I kind of, again, I don't want to say force the hand of Fox 2, but because Ezekiel Elliott from St. Louis, we were able to go down there and cover the first ever college football playoff national championship game where Ohio State beats Oregon, and Ezekiel Elliott went off, and I did a bunch of stories with his family. And of course, as an Ohio State fan, I wanted to go anyway, but it actually worked out perfect for Fox too, because that's when Ezekiel Elliott's star really started to rise there. And you know, I don't like to be corrector guy, but I have to correct, because it was actually three World Series, only two Cardinal World Series. But I also kind of tried to finagle with Fox too that 2016 World Series, where I was able to go to all the games. And so I started and went to Cleveland Indians versus the Cubs, of course. And so I would stay in between. I would stay in Toledo with my parents. I would drive to Cleveland, stay with my brother who lives there, drive to Chicago, stay in Toledo again on the off day, stay with my buddies in Chicago for the three games there, had a great time, go back, off day in Toledo, stay with my brother in Cleveland, and was able to watch all seven games of those World Series games between the Indians and the Cubs breaking the curse. And that was a lot of fun too. Just driving back and forth. I'm sure you didn't appreciate this, even though I do think the coverage was very strong, but I was gone for about 2 weeks there. So it was probably a lot of Martin anchoring.
Well, it was worth it for the intent. You know, Rich Gould would have helped if he was available. I got a thing tomorrow. Otherwise I'd be happy to help. The game,
don't you dare. Hey, don't you dare talk about a Hall of Famer like that.
Hall of Famer. And I told Rich Gould, our buddy, is now in the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame. And I said, in honor of him, we won't cover it, because these are the kind of events that Rich would just say, why don't we use last year's footage? Who cares? I called him the other day and I said, are you actually going to show up? He's like, well, I suppose I have to. I'm like, because you know, Rich is like, no, wait a minute. I got to drive to Springfield for this thing. Rich was consistent, I will say that, and not really wanting to go. Every year there'd be a playoff or a World Series. I'd say, hey, do you want to go to Boston? Hey, do you want to go? Why would I want to get on a plane? He didn't want to travel anywhere, which was great, because then you got to go to the Stanley Cup, Game 7. And the game that I wish I was at, and I often get confused about whether I was there or Joel Goldberg was there, but the game in Pittsburgh where Waka had to beat the Pirates, the NLDS Game 4, you were at that. To me, that's the game. If I could go back and say, I wish I had been somewhere, that's the game I wish I was at.
Yeah. And again, I'm trying to think back. Was that the game where it was Waka, Carlos Martinez, Trevor Rosenthal? I think that those were the three guys that pitched. They were all super young at the time, and they were all throwing 100 miles an hour basically out there. And yeah, that was a great series. And also just the backdrop of Pittsburgh. I think I've been to Pittsburgh a couple times now. I was also sent out there. Remember when Steven Piscotty had that terrible injury where he collided in the outfield and hit his head? And that was the last, it wasn't the last series of the season, but they ended up clinching. So we went out there for that. And then also all the champagne celebration. But yeah, Pittsburgh, I think Pittsburgh, for me, PNC Park is right up there with whatever the hell they're calling AT&T, or what is San Francisco even called these days?
Oh, man, I'm always a couple behind. It was Pac Bell, then it was AT&T, and now it's Giant Stadium.
Okay, whatever it is, but those, I think those are my two favorite newer stadiums. I love the old school, the Fenway Pack and Wrigley, but PNC is really, 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 really cool to be at.
What surprised you about St. Louis? Like when you got, you knew you the Cardinals were here, or is there anything that, like when your friends call and say, dude, you should move to Chicago, which we should all move to Chicago. I get it. But if you had to sell them on St. Louis, what would you say?
How would I sell them on St. Louis? So all my buddies out of...
Is this the repeat the question trick? And by the way, do I look incredibly red on all these monitors? Every time I do a Zoom, it looks like I just had 14 beers for breakfast. And my wife was making fun of me one time, and then she had to do a Zoom. She goes, oh my God, my face is really red. I'm telling you, it's something like you look kind of on the pale side, but I look like a tomato.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get one of those ring lights because... I actually set my Zoom up in front of a window to try to use the natural light. And if it's really sunny out, it looks better. So I'm probably pale because it's okay out there.
But normal. Like I look abnormal. Like
you look red.
It's unbelievable. Where were we?
I remember your question now. So all my buddies from Bradley, most of them are from Chicago, or almost all of them moved to Chicago after school. So I was in Chicago once a month, hanging out with them basically from 2004, really till I met Jess probably in 2013 or so. So I think Chicago, if you're young, it's a great place to live. I have a lot of buddies now who are older and they complain. I say to them, you guys used to brag about Chicago all the time. It's the greatest city ever. Now that they're older, they're making money. All they complain about is crime and taxes. And I know people complain about that a little bit in St. Louis as well. But I do think St. Louis is a great spot to live and to work and to raise a family. And in terms of just cost of living, but also getting around, our old radio joke, you can get anywhere in 20 minutes. It's probably more like 25 minutes, but still there's not traffic. I hate traffic. And I think that's the reason you see so many of these former Cardinals and Blues players, even if they didn't play here for a long time, if they came here later in their career, they settle down. And we joke about this all the time with the Cardinals, where we always say, oh, that guy, he's perfect for the Cardinals. And it's always a boring 30-year-old family man guy, which is great. But if it's Giancarlo Stanton, if it's somebody like Jason Hayward, if it was an Aaron Judge, people are like, no, he doesn't really fit the Cardinals, meaning he's a young guy that likes to have fun. He wants to be in Miami. He wants to be in New York. And let's be real, for the social aspect, St. Louis, it has a lot, but it's no New York. It's no LA.
Oh, this is perfect. I need something to promote this. I'll just say Marlo bags on city in final visit, final TV interview.
No, there you go.
It's very true. A little bit of housekeeping here.
Housekeeping.
I got my notes. When I see a housekeeping sign, I think of you. And I think of our buddy, Chris Gardner, who's running for Senate. I think, I don't know.
He could
win. The former producer who is, I'm telling you, this is like a Wes Anderson movie. You know, the guy who did Rushmore and Royal Tenenbaums, who's always just kind of eccentric in his screenplays. Does Chris Gardner feels like he's playing that out, by the way, running for something. Anyway, housekeeping is what I would always think of you. We did have a radio show. Then we had a podcast. Nothing lasts forever, Chuck, especially things that we do together. The Midday Grind. If 590 hadn't mucked that whole thing, I think we would have been just fine. We would have still been doing the show to this day.
I agree. And you never know, Martin. I do think this could be my sales pitch, but 590, I truly believe this, that we're turning things around. I think you got a lot of good apples in there now from ownership on down. I truly believe that it's turning the corner and it's going to do well. And I'm sure you know how it is. There's a lot of radio incest going on. Everybody always kind of works with somebody. Then they come back. Everybody works with everybody seven times. So I think Martin Kilcoyne, I know you have your own spot there at 550, but everybody works together. And also in this new world we live in, the podcast, of course, we can do Martin and Marlo on YouTube, man. We got the YouTube rocking and rolling. YouTube, The video is preferred to the audio for me. So we can just do this. You can put it on audio on Scoops with Danny Mac or wherever you put it. I can put the video on YouTube and we can do this once a week or so.
Good apples, he said. But Cam doesn't live in your basement, does he? Now I now associate you two closely together as well.
Yeah, Cam spends a lot of time in his own basement on the show, especially during COVID. Cam lives so far away, I have to say. I have not been to his new house because it's way out there in St. Albans. So I got to go out there at some point, but it is really, really far. And so that's where the whole everything in St. Louis is 20 minutes away. I don't know if St. Albans counts there. That's probably more, 35, pushing 40 minutes.
Yeah, that breaks your 20-minute rule right there, Chuck.
Yeah. No, but Cam's fantastic. We're having a good time. I think we've got a good thing going. And, again, this is now 2 or 3 weeks straight where you can't really say what's going on. I think there will be an official announcement. But, yeah, we'll be moving a little bit there at 590, and I think we'll have a good show moving forward.
You'll be moving a little, earlier maybe? All right, let me give a shout out. We have shout outs here. Went to the Billiken game, and this is not like news, but my son is 10. And listen, I was not you were a college baseball player, right? I was not. I played a little bit of high school basketball, a little bit of high school football. I don't have any visions like that my son is going to be some great athlete, but I want him to play all these different sports and just get him involved. And just every year he's like, Dad, you made me play on that team. You made me play on that team. Just recently, he's kind of gotten interested in basketball, largely because of the NBA and these video games. He's talking about Steph Curry and LeBron because it's on all these video games. But we went to Chaffetz. We went to the Auburn game, and it was an incredible atmosphere. They should have won the game. Very disappointing, but it was so much fun. And we're leaving, and he said, Dad, when's their next game? And I was like, this is the greatest endorsement for just going to a building, going to an event, and then people want to go again. It really is – I just think an underrated gym. And one of my career confusion is why SLU can't get more people to go to their games, because the atmosphere is good. The team is good. And I just want to pack up the family. If all the kids on YouTube watching, if you haven't gone, maybe you're even a Mizzou alum and you hate SLU, just go down for the basketball and the atmosphere. This is not a live endorsement, Charlie, but we'll have to log it with the FCC just in case it comes up as a commercial.
I agree with you 100%. And I got to cover a lot of games at Chaffetz. I think the most favorite game that I was at, I believe it was SLU versus Butler, and I went with my dad. And it was during that run of either Majerus or it was probably the Jim Cruz years when they were still really good for that three straight trips to the tournament, which, by the way, there's another great memory. I got to go to all three of those trips with SLU to Columbus, San Jose, and then where was the other one at?
Was it in LA?
No, it was San Jose.
Oh, Orlando.
Columbus. Oh, Orlando.
Tampa, yes. Or Orlando.
Yes. And now Sloot, they won a game.
Every time. So you went the Majerus first year. You were there. I don't know if you had a sit down with Majerus. Remember, they beat Memphis.
Yeah.
And then they gave your boy Izzo a run in the second round. So then the next year, this is the kind of stuff I do remember. They won a game. They beat New Mexico State, who had a guy who was 7'6" or something. And then they ran into Oregon, who was way underseeded, and got beat. And then the next year, they had to survive down in Florida against NC State, and then lost maybe to Patino?
Louisville, yes.
And so that's right. So you covered three straight. You're the SLU insider, Chuck. Why don't you start a podcast at Billiken Insider, Charlie Marlow?
I'll take over for SLU Samano. Yeah. Those were some fun teams. I remember that first year. And we did have a sit down with Rick Majerus. That might have been the first time I started really shooting video myself again. And that could have been one of the last interviews Rick Majerus did, actually. I put that on YouTube. Everybody was crying.
You have a YouTube channel?
I do. May have heard. But everybody was crying. I remember Brian Conklin was crying at the end of that. Those were some really fun teams. Jordan Jett and Dwayne Evans. But yeah, that game against Butler, I remember I went with my dad. It's actually, you know how you have the picture on your phone for people? And that's the picture of myself and my dad at Chaffetz Arena. It was a whiteout. They won that game. I can't remember which year it was. So probably 11, 12, 13, 14-ish. But that was an awesome atmosphere. I remember my dad walking away saying, wow, that was really fun. And that was a really cool atmosphere, which is Chaffetz is perfect when it's filled up about 10,000 people. When you have a whiteout going, that is the perfect, I don't know if intimate is the right word, but it's certainly different than a 16, 17, 18,000 seat Breslin Center in East Lansing. So it is one of the, I think the more underrated college basketball atmospheres.
And another one I should have gone to, you saw the boss at Chaffetz. You went to the Springsteen show in 16, the River Tour. I have the river memorized in my head. I don't know why I didn't go. That's another one. I got to go back in time and be you at PNC and at Chaffetz to see Springsteen.
Okay, so now Springsteen lovers will probably criticize me for this, but I'm a person who I like Bruce Springsteen. I like him a lot, but I'm not obsessed with him like a lot of people are. So
mostly sports writers.
Correct. When these great artists come through town, I always want to see these icons at least once. And let's be real, as they get older, you want to see them before they could potentially die. And I'm not saying that about Bruce Springsteen, but Tom Petty, you never know. I never got to see Tom Petty, and I would have loved to see Tom Petty, and unfortunately he passes away. So we went to go see Bruce Springsteen, and I don't think The River is an album that I really would love. And I didn't know a lot about The River. There's not a lot of hits on The River, in my opinion. So the first half of that concert where he plays The River, and that's cool, because if you're Bruce Springsteen, you want to mix it up. So the first half of that, I thought, okay, this is kind of fun. And I think it went 2 hours and 45 minutes or 3 hours, but the second half was fantastic, because the second half, he busted out every single hit. He was crowd surfing. What is he, close to 70 years old? And he's got the energy of a 25-year-old. So that was an awesome concert.
What's not uplifting of a song about, I got a union card and a wedding after she got pregnant? It's like, I love all these songs, but if you sit there and just listen to the lyrics, like, God, it's fucking depressing. If you really
well, here's okay.
Heart, the hungry heart, always a little upbeat in the middle of the sadness of the river. That hungry heart will get the crowd going every time, Chuck.
Yeah. So
here's what you're going to experience. You're going to get out of TV, but in the next like 5-6 years, people are still kind of like, "Hey, Charlie, haven't seen you in a while. You still doing the prep zone?" Like, people have no concept. Like, I've been here forever, and people will still say, "Hey, what's up, news guy? Hey, man, you doing some commentating tonight?" You're going to be out of TV, and people are like, "Hey, Andy Banker? No. Andy Marlowe? Close. Chuck Marlowe?" You're still going to get – I know you're not a guy who enjoys or doesn't need it. We know – we make fun of it all the time. People who need TV because it, like, props up who they are. Like, do you know who I am? Like, they wear the – they probably wear the TV blazer, like, to the grocery store just so people come up to them. But I do predict you're going to get that. What do you think you'll miss about doing TV?
What will I miss? I will miss you guys. I'll miss the camaraderie in the sports office with yourself and Jober, Dave Jobe, Roman Duenez, and we got Michaela there now, and Daniel Esteve, who's new. I've only met him a couple times. Obviously, he just started. But then all the old days, too, with Jarrett Shrustrin and Mo Drummond, Rob Dazier. We had a lot of fun. A lot of fun trips and all that. And I think, too, you know, this, as you get older, I do think there's less camaraderie. And I only say that because, look, when I was young and I'm getting here and I'm 25 and I'm going out and I'm hanging out, and then everybody gets older and people have families and kids, and you just can't kind of hang out as much as you did back in the day, which is totally normal. But yeah, just everybody around Fox too, as well. When you think about being there for 14 years, there are so many people that you see on an everyday basis where I see them more than my family members, especially my family back home in Toledo. And it's just those relationships, just kind of walking through the halls, seeing people, the editors, the producers, and you just walk through every day for 14 years. And, you know, they are your friends. And you won't probably see them very much at all over the next, you know, several years once I leave Fox 2. So that's what I'll miss, but I'm not leaving St. Louis. So I think I'll be seeing these people a lot. And I think one of the cool things is whenever a big timer leaves, whenever a big timer retires, not me. Okay. I'm not going to get the Mandy Murphy 3-minute piece.
Special.
I'm not going to get the Mandy Murphy 3-minute story with music, which, by the way, I don't deserve that. What I'm saying though is, if it's somebody like a Dave Murray, Sandy Miller, Rocky Madden, and they bring some people back. And if they have a party somewhere, I'll be coming to those so I can see everybody again.
What are, so, okay, this is a great, this would be a great radio bit. What does this person warrant? And then you put their resume up in TV. Like, how is that a 20-second VO? Like, hey, congratulations. Have a nice, is it a half hour special? Is it a 4-minute piece? You're at least a VOSAT, Chuck. You're at least video and sound. And don't be surprised. It might be after you're, because we're both off a bunch around the holidays, but it might actually be after you're gone. But don't be surprised if some video surfaces, okay? Maybe a younger Chuck, maybe a little thinner Chuck, maybe some footage of that.
Well, maybe. Oh, I was thinking. Yeah, I was thinking there's got to be a TKO coming at some point here. No, that's a good question, though, about what do you warrant? And so I think my last day is New Year's Eve, just based on when my contract ends and my off days, which I find funny because only I work at the end of the holidays and work Christmas and New Year's and then leave. Whereas anybody else would have thought to restructure their contract, like Rich Gould, for example. Rich Gould, we love him. Strategically, he got out the perfect time right before Thanksgiving. He gets to kind of, you got the summer, you got some football going on, you're out, and then you got the holidays. Whereas myself, very dumbly, I do all of the holidays and then leave. So anybody watching this, if you're going to do a contract moving forward for TV, radio, or really any job, you should probably end it like on November 20th.
Well, in honor of our guy, Chris Berman, happy holidays. I think of you too when he's, I think it was a month ago, he's like, happy Hanukkah. Happy Christmas, happy Halloween. I think he started those wishes months and months ago. Chuck, I'm not really saying goodbye because I'll probably see you like in an hour or 2 hours mm-hmm. or next week or whenever.
Yeah, this has been fun. This has been great. And it's not really goodbye. It's a Fox 2 goodbye. And then I've texted you now a couple times about this YouTube podcast, and you haven't given me a definitive yes. So I don't know if you have to if you have to float that by management, but I want to get this thing going again starting in January.
Martin and Milo, we should win. It's hard to bring in guests, but wouldn't it be funny one day if we ever like had a sit down with Spags? And he would probably never want to do it, but Fisher would probably do it, actually.
For sure. I think Fisher would do it. I bet you Spags might do it in the off season.
Yeah.
I could see that. All right, buddy.
Great talk. Congrats on the career. Let me just say, you're more than a 20-second VO, okay?
Oh, thanks, buddy. From a young guy to an old guy, I appreciate that.
My assistant, Charlie Marlowe, started that joke, and didn't somebody along the way was like, why does he call you his assistant? It took on a life of its own.
That's another Fred Heumann story. When Fred Heumann gets mentioned all the time, we need to get him on for an interview as well, by the way.
All right, great talk. That's the one and only Chuck Marlowe.
And again, Charlie's not going anywhere. He is much like a blues player that came here from far away Canada and married a St. Louis girl. He's not leaving. So you'll be seeing and hearing plenty from Charlie Marlowe. But good to catch up on the podcast side as a guest of the Kilcoin Conversation. We'll do a little TV tribute. It is fun to go back and see the footage of somebody. And he is still a young guy. He's 39, but when he got here, he was 25. So we've all changed a little bit. Chuck's got great TV hair. The hair hasn't really changed. But it is fun to see some of those old clips when somebody first started at the station. We've dusted off a few of those, so we'll be rolling that out, and I'm sure he'll be reposting it on his YouTube channel. You can count on that. The Kilcoin Conversation, as always, is available at scoopswithdannymac.com, Spotify, iTunes. We've got some more in the works, not just this year, but into next year. A lot of fun names, and we'll look back also at maybe the most popular segments we've done, whether it was Kevin Harlan, Brett Hull. I'm going to dust off a few of those during the New Year's week. So thanks as always for listening and subscribing, and to our great sponsors, which include B&G Tuck Pointing, doing great work around St. Louis, not just tuck pointing, but also with foundation repair and waterproofing. BGTuckPointing.com is the website, or 363-0525, the number to call. Triad Bank, the CEO there, Jim Regna, is a St. Louis guy, went to Rosary, then went to UMSL, and was working in the bank regulating business, and then helped start Triad Bank in 2005. So it's a St. Louis-based bank, 5-star rated bank, home loan, car loan, business loan, make sure you talk to the folks at Triad Bank. On the web, it's triadbanking.com. Marita Villa Senior Living, where the giant Christmas tree has been up for, well, about a month or so. If you're driving around West County, corner of Clayton and Wideman Road, check it out. It's believed to be the tallest outdoor Christmas tree in all of St. Louis County. Just great folks at Marie Davila Senior Living. And Appliance Discounters on the web, theappliancediscounters.com. Great savings every single day. Appliances delivered quickly to you. They've got a great appliance repair team. It's a St. Louis success story. Started in 2007 over on Watson Road. There were three employees. That's it. Denise Bradley, her husband John, her brother Tony, the three of them. That was it. And because they've been doing, well, great work and getting you great savings, it's become a hit all around town. TheAppliancediscounters.com. Find them on the web. Merry Christmas. We'll probably talk again later this week, but hope everybody has a safe holiday season. And as always, thanks for listening.